And a very good afternoon to you. Small room, but packed. Thank you very much for coming. First of all, behind the scenes, we're at this year's assembly. There's a lot of talk about UN reform. What can and should the global health community do? How should be the architecture? And for some, there's a misunderstanding. Some people actually believe that issues such as environment should be just dealt with by one organization and not by many. And the first thing I have for you is to understand that this cannot be done like that. We need intersectorality, and that doesn't mean that now we're moving all the items to just one organization in the UN, because there's many aspects that we need to consider about health. And if I, now the thing is that I, hopefully, yes. Let us remind ourselves that we do have a mandate for it. Like just 3 years ago, the Assembly approved this resolution on impacts of chemicals, waste, and pollution on human health. And they asked the Secretariat, that's always the operational paragraphs, what do we want as member states, the World Health Organization, the Secretariat to do, to actually increase our work on climate change, on chemicals, on waste pollution, and on plastics. So the membership, ministries of health, understand that addressing the issue of plastics pollution is very much linked to global health. Actually, indeed, it is very much linked. About 25% of all deaths are estimated to occur because of environmental pollution, climate change, chemicals, plastics, radiation. 25%. Now, none of the decisions that are here are done and made by the ministries of health. They're all made by other ministries, but not only the ministries of the environment, obviously. So we're talking about open burning, drainage, ocean plastic pollution, dumping sites, and incineration when it comes to plastics. Now, here you can see the main chemicals, and I don't want in 5 minutes to go into much of the detail, but what you can see here, they are linked to cardiovascular diseases, to kidney, to lung cancers, to heart and liver failures, to stomach cancer, to reproductive failures, infertility, for instance, and so on. So you can go through the whole body and we can identify what plastics actually are causing in terms of health harm. And that needs to be understood. As I said, we're talking about 25% of global mortality, which is actually attributed to environmental issues in large. Not only plastics, but environmental issues at large. So, but then we also need to understand that the health sector is part of the problem. The health sector contributes to about 6% of CO2 emissions, which is huge. I mean, we're a big sector, of course, but that's a huge contribution. But then also, in terms of plastics pollution, we are part of the problem. So we need to green the health sector, and that includes looking at what use, reuse we're making of plastics. If you compare the utilization of plastics of today with what was used some 40 years ago, this now has, you know, skyrocketed. And we need to look at it, what is needed and what is not. So all this, of course, you can only do by looking at health law, by looking at regulating the use of plastics also in the health sector. So, and if you're looking at You know, the day-to-day use of plastics in hospitals, it actually has increased a lot. Of course, WHO has ongoing projects with that to identify single-use plastics and healthcare products that create the greatest waste generation. So what is causing the biggest harm? And there to see how can we reduce that use of those single-use plastics. And of course, we have Attach, initiative that was launched just a couple of years ago, but now has over 105 member states now participating and over 100 other organizations. So it has grown a lot, where actually we're looking at how to bring down the use of plastics in the health sector. Now, we cannot do this alone, and it is not only when we're talking about plastics treaties and the overall environment of use of plastics. This is not just a human health issue. It's an animal health issue, and it's an environmental issue. So the environment, the animal, and the human sectors and disciplines need to work together. And we need to look at the whole of society. So it is actually rural, urban, and mobile communities, obviously, and the industry that actually contributes to that. So we need actually to bring those different stakeholders together. We need to communicate, collaborate, coordinate, and build capacities on that. And as we said, we need to do this for the whole ecosystem, meaning the health of humans, animals, and the ecosystems. So that is the multidisciplinary landscape in which we have to operate if we want to be successful. Now, coming to the negotiations, what a disappointment. I mean, from a diplomacy point of view, we've seen many things, but this was one of the harshest things I've seen. So not only to say health has no place, but also to just undermine the arguments, the evidence, you were talking about the evidence that is needed, yes, but it was not considered so far. Now, we need to get that back on track, and thanks for being here. We need you member states to really advocate and lobby for health being front line, right? To be at the table. We need a paragraph on health. We need to understand how health is related to the other paragraphs of this treaty. We need to be able to make assessments of decisions of other sectors on human health. And all that, again, can only be done if we have a globally legally binding treaty or document. So that is at stake. That is why this meeting today is so hugely important, to take that out into the world, lobby behind the scenes when it comes now to the global health architecture, that we're not reductionistic in our views, but that we're complementary in addressing complex issues with global health effects. And with this, I thank you very much.